There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. And yeah, let's reset this hour just like we did last hour. Here we go. Let's hit it. Yeah, the bass line on this is so fat. So fat. It's like Barney Miller intro.
If there's a place you gotta go, I'm the one you need to know. I'm the map.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the map. If there's a place you gotta get, I can get you there, I bet. I'm the map.
Trying to make it plural. All right, so yeah, so back to Map Chat here on Midday Mobile, and bring on my friend who is a radio show host in Huntsville, a writer for Yellowhammer News. I would say probably the favorite guest host of Midday Mobile, and I'm buttering him up because I got something to ask him here later. It's Michael Yaffe, y'all. Hey, Michael.
Hey, what's up?
Good. Before we get to this, let's get the most important news out of the way. Is the baby sleeping?
You know, it depends on the night. Last night was pretty good.
Okay, good.
So, you know, ask me tomorrow, and then it could be different. Who knows?
I know that. So just count your blessings. If you have a night, you sleep through the night, you know, or just don't have to get up till 4. Uh-huh. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. And then one day they'll keep you up all night for different reasons when they're teenagers. But that's
okay. Yeah, great.
It's bookended like
thanks.
That. Yeah, so Map Chat, as we roll in here. So the Special Master comes back with 3. And I guess if I would have dug more deeply, I would have seen that they had the option to bring. I thought they were going to come back with 1, right? Ignorant me. But no, we got 3 for the judges to choose from here, the 3 different maps. I know that this is a lot. I mean, there are changes up in your neck of the woods as well, but the biggest ones are down here in Southwest Alabama. What's the reaction? Did your callers talk about this today at all?
I mean, most of them basically agree with me. This is not about opportunity districts for racial equality. This is about creating another Democrat district. It seems to be the goal here.
Right. And with that, I got to ask you the second question here. Something we talked about several times, talked about last hour. What if we go through, let's give it, because we got probably 8 years before the next census. Let's say we go through 3 congressional cycle, 2-year cycles. So we're going to give it 6 years time. And and District 2 goes to Republicans every time. I don't know that it would, but if it did, would those same plaintiffs that told us it was not about outcome, but about opportunity, I think they sue again. Your feelings.
Probably. They would say, well, this can't be right.
Right.
We didn't get what we wanted. I mean, I don't know what the lawsuit would say, but I do find it interesting. I don't know what the reaction you've seen from this, but I mean, only one of the Special Master maps has a district that's majority-minority. Mm-hmm. Even 2 out of the 3 there are still not majority-minority. So it's like, what are we doing here? I know that wasn't required, which is what the state said, which is why they made one with 40% black voters. But now we're like, oh, well, it's 48%, so that's better. It's like, what are you really trying to do here?
Well, where was the number? And it's a fair thing. Like, you could say, you know, in fairness to this conversation, they said you need to make an opportunity zone. If you made it 20%, I would say, come on, guys and gals, you know that that's not realistic. But then is it 38% to 48%? I just, maybe we could have expedited, I don't know, an expedited method to just go, the Supreme Court says what they say, then you go back and say, hey, what do y'all mean? You know how you, like, if you cared about a class in school, you go to the teacher afterwards and say, hey, what do you really mean? But I don't know that we did that, so we come up with this number that they throw out. I mean, Supreme Court says there's no stay in this. that you're going to have one of these maps. So obviously the number was closer to 48 point whatever percent.
Yeah, when I look at that and I see how much we're having to stretch just to get it to like 48%, I'm thinking, okay, I don't think the original map was unfair. Like,
the singleton map.
The original map was fine.
Yeah, the singleton map
was fine. Every time we go through this, like, this just proves that the original map was fine.
But the chances, I mean, it's not getting changed. Is one of these three maps is now a reality for until, mm-hmm. at least for 8 years or so, right? I mean, this is what we're going to live with. The other conversation is now Coffee County has, no matter what map you look at, all three of them have Coffee County, which is the home for AL2's congressman right now, Barry Moore, in Coffee County. That's now in AL1. So do you think we're going to have a head-to-head between two incumbents for AL1, you know, AL2 incumbent
looks
and the
like
AL1
it.
Incumbent, or what do you see happening here?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that's where this is going, which to me almost seems like a part of the plan. Like, you know, you have Barry Moore, who might be the most conservative congressman in our state, and they're like, oh, not only are we going to create a second Democrat district, but we're going to make it hard for the conservative to really win again. This is wonderful. And I'm like, okay. I'm very disgruntled about this, if you can't tell.
I've noticed. I also, in the way these districts are drawn, it is pretty interesting. I mean, if you look at them real quickly, they all kind of look the same, but those changes, I'm talking about the changes here in the southwest portions of 1 and 2. There's a change in map 3 that I think is maybe better for, you know, I don't know. I mean, if you want to, you know, packing and cracking, and you, that area of northeast Mobile County would probably be, which is Sarah Lynn Satsuma up that way, would probably be pretty reliable Republican votes. You know, there's the third map leaves it in AL1, and I wonder if that's not some packing, right, to take that out of AL2 and make AL2 even more Democrat if you pack those into one. You know, and we're told we're not allowed to pack, but they're packing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I tend to agree with you. I have to admit, you've looked at more of the details on that than I have, maybe because I'm so disgruntled about it. Because, I mean, it's just so hard for me to even comment on this, because from the beginning, you looked at the original map. I'm not even talking about the one in the special session. I'm talking about the original. Looks pretty reasonable. Like, we're acting like the original was just, oh, my gosh, how racist and terrible that was. And it's like, it looks fine. They basically make sense based on the geography of the state and the communities of interest. What are we doing here? And it's like, we've allowed Democrats to use the courts to racially gerrymander because they want a second Democrat district. And it looks like they've won this battle. And it's not good for the state.
And y'all, this is the decision of the Supreme Court of the United States. So therefore, it is precedent setting. Your other states have to be looking at this and going, okay,
yep,
we got the game plan here. Let's implement that, you know, wherever.
Yeah, and I guess it just bothers me because they're doing it like, oh, we're really doing this about the Voting Rights Act. But what they're doing is they're using the race card to help Democrats. That's what they're doing. And so they get mad at Republicans for making a map that helps Republicans, because all states do that. Mm-hmm. They gerrymander based on politics, and they're like, oh, we're not doing that, but that's what they're doing. They're just using the courts now, and they're using race in order to accomplish it.
Yeah, in other words, if you can't get it done at a state level, like remember Texas, the big hubbub in Texas about that? If you can't get it done at a state level, now you've taken it federal, right? I mean, that's what this looks like to me.
I completely agree with that. That's what they're doing. It's another way of, well, we can't get this done the right way, so we're going to try to use the courts to get it done. And it looks like they were successful. And it's funny because they were only barely successful. Even with all of these new maps and everything, that opportunity district, it's still only 48 to 50% black voters. Maybe that goes Republican again. Who knows? It's just the whole thing seems absolutely absurd to me.
Well, that's my question, right? That in three cycles, let's say two, three, whatever, however many cycles, let's say it's three congressional cycles, that it happens that Republicans win AL2. You know, some Republican wins AL2, which I don't know that. I mean, I'm not going to put money on that. But if it did happen, I got to think these same plaintiffs come back, or another group with the same angle come back and saying, oh, y'all didn't do it correctly because now Democrats aren't winning, so therefore black voices aren't being heard, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you looked at the response of the special session, Matt, from those in, you know, Alabama media, the Kyle Whitmires of the world. That's what they were looking at. They were looking at the chances of that district becoming Democrat. And they complained because, well, it's not going to become Democrat. And it's like, you guys are exposing yourselves. You guys, we see what you're doing here. You just want another Democrat district. This isn't about anything else. You believe, well, black voters are going to vote Democrat, so we need a Democrat district. And if that doesn't happen, I mean, I'll laugh a lot. It'll be hilarious, but you're exactly right. They'll complain again.
All right. Before we run out of time, a couple of number one, just looking at presidential politics. I know the story today, former President Trump going to look at pistols or something. I don't know. That seems to lead the news.
What is up with that story? It's a weird story.
It seems planted. And I would say by the Trump campaign, you know, let's make sure that he's seen buying a handgun today. I don't know. But as the official representative for Governor DeSantis, who's also in the people didn't know, Yaffe is pretty much like having Governor DeSantis on when I'm talking to him. Is he going out to buy a handgun here to keep pace here in the presidential race?
I have a feeling DeSantis already owns handguns. Yeah. I don't think he needs to go out and buy another one. I think he's got some. I don't think anyone questions his Second Amendment credentials.
We've talked so many times, and the story's been put out that fundraising not going well, cutting staff there, but it seems like there's some longevity. With Governor Santos keeping himself in the news today with the debates with Newsom and all that, is he still the number two? Or is it Vivek? Yeah, is he trying to play for number two?
I think he's the number two. It's just he's closer to the rest of the pack than he would like to be. He would rather be closer to Trump. I mean, he's either going to have some kind of breakout debate performance, which I don't know if he will, but he's got to win Iowa. I mean, if he doesn't win Iowa, it's over. He's got to have a chance to win Iowa. And because that's going to be, I think a lot of people just think Trump's inevitable. So if DeSantis can come and win Iowa, maybe it pops that bubble a little bit. Even if he wins Iowa, it's going to be hard for him. I mean, let's be honest with that. But DeSantis is either going to have a breakout moment of some kind, or he's got to win Iowa, and it's going to be hard.
And if I am not I'm not completely clear on this, but I think Trump lost Iowa, didn't he, in 2016? Then went on to win New Hampshire.
Yeah, he lost to Ted Cruz. I mean, Iowa isn't necessarily all it's cracked up to be in terms of that. Because you're right. They don't. Who wins Iowa doesn't always win, but DeSantis has got to do something to prove to the electorate that he could be the one to beat Trump and make him the guy that's the other than Trump guy. Right now, I mean, voters are pretty much split on who the other than Trump person is, so Trump's going to win. So that's why I say he's got to win Iowa, and I'm not even sure that would work, but he needs something to prove to those voters that he can be the other-than-Trump guy.
Yeah, if he doesn't win Iowa, I agree with you. He's out. No reason to even continue to New Hampshire. All right, and let's close on this, because if you draw a line from where you are in Huntsville, you're closer to Birmingham, I think, than I am here in southwest Alabama in the chopped-up AL1, AL2 zone. You surprised hearing this? Leanna told me a second ago that the Carly Russell saga, this is the headline at AL.com, Carly Russell saga depicted in the new streaming movie, The Nurse That Saw the Baby on the Highway. Didn't this just happen? Is the movie coming out before the story's even over?
Yes. I don't even know how this is possible. It's too early for a documentary on this, and they're coming out with an actual movie?
Yes. Yeah, it's like a dramatization, like with actors and everything in it. This was July. Wasn't it July?
Bizarre.
Yeah, it was like July. And now there's already a movie out there. So maybe, you and I talked during the news break. Maybe whoever produces this movie can get those things done. Maybe we can get them to Washington. Maybe get something out of them there.
It could be the writer's strike, too, or something. And, they don't have any writers. So they're like, let's just make this. I don't know.
Well, maybe something to it. All right. Tell folks when you're not being a dad and you're doing your stuff, radio show, podcast, and writing, how do they find you?
Yeah, I'm on WVNN 9 to 11 a.m. in Huntsville. You can catch the podcast at WVNN.com or anywhere podcasts are available. Follow me on X at Yaffe or like the Yaffe Facebook page. And yes, I write every day for YellowhammerNews.com.
Good stuff, man. Get some rest. We'll talk again next week.
All right. See you, man.
All right. There he goes. Actually, I need him to work for me next week. Remind me, I got to make a call. Get finished. Yeah, my working title I would have had for this movie is Trace Without a Lost for the Carly Russell story. What do you think? Let's workshop that on the Ascension Technologies text line, and we'll be right back. They have got the movie already with, like, actors in it and everything. This just happened in July.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 125 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Y'all say hello to my friend Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And Ron, y'all were out doing the dog feed, the pet thing this weekend.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun and pretty good success. A lot of people there. Got to see a lot of different types of dogs, and all the dogs seemed to get along, which was amazing. I really thought there'd be some dogs that just wouldn't get along with other dogs, but it was a fun event. The weather was fine. Got a little warm in the afternoon, but we saw a lot of people, a lot of customers, and met a lot of new customers.
That's a good thing. Let's talk about new customers. And maybe this is worth another lesson from Ron here, because Jeff on his show earlier, Jeff Poore, was talking about gold and you know, post-apocalyptic, and I think they went a little too far because people mentioned, no, you use gold as a hedge in non-apocalyptic times. How does that work? When you say gold is a hedge, what does that mean?
Because gold is priced in U.S. dollars, and when the U.S. dollar gets stronger, you actually get less gold for your money because the dollar buys more. If the dollar was to drop severely, let's say maybe 20-30%, your dollar buys a lot less, but the gold would be worth more. In other words, the gold would get you more dollars. Since the dollar is cheaper, it actually get more gold. So it offsets the loss in your investment portfolios that contain cash and stocks, because in many cases, stocks and gold move inversely to each other. So if the stock market has a rough time and the U.S. dollar drops a lot in value, if you have a hedge that in gold or silver, or platinum, palladium, that most of the time will offset those losses, so you're still at the break-even point. Not meant as necessarily an investment, although it can be an investment vehicle. I see it mainly as a hedge to protect your 401ks, your cash, and things like that.
All right. And gold is part of that. Of course, silver, that's the thing that y'all got me started on way back. Silver's been good. Platinum and palladium, how are they looking this week?
They're doing pretty good. Platinum and palladium have been steady. Gold and silver are down a little bit yesterday and today, so a really good time. If you haven't set up a hedge or you want to decide to start investing in it, now's a great time. A lot of people came in yesterday and are coming in today with prices down, taking advantage of that little bit of downturn. When I say down, I'm talking 20 cents on silver and $15 on gold. So not like, you know, crashing down or anything like that. Just adjusting based on the value of the dollar.
All right. Tell folks to get the education I've been getting for a decade plus on gold, silver, and all precious metals. How do they find you?
Come on by the shop. We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can call us at 251-725-1590 or visit us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com.
Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
There he goes. Ron from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Great guy. One of the good folks out there for sure. Go see him. This is looking through the text here. I wanted my dramatic. Do we have the dramatic music? Okay, so I wanted to. So now back to the story here that I mentioned before we went to the news. Well, that kind of works. Yeah. It's like romantic. But the Carly Russell movie is out. Yeah, you can see more of this on our Facebook page, also over on the Twitter, or the kids call it the X feed out there. I put the story up from AL.com. It says there's already a Carly Russell movie, y'all. It only took a couple months, because Carly, when she turned herself in, like in July, only took a couple months to turn around. Here's their title: The Nurse That Saw the Baby on the Highway. And I thought it would have been better to call it Trace Without a Lost. It says you can rent the movie or buy it over there. Directed by Alvin Gray and starring Rena Renee, is that how you pronounce her name? As a lead role, here's the plot description from it. Based on some true events, nursing student Marley Wilson is having problems with her boyfriend and his addiction to strippers. Feeling unwanted, Marley calls 911 to make up a story of being kidnapped by a man and a baby on the highway, making problems worst. Now, they wrote worst, not worse. in the, this is the, well, the time they spent getting this movie together in their slug line to promote it. It says making problems worst, W-O-R-S-T, not W-O-R-S-E. I guess that's what happens when you turn them. This is not a documentary. They got actors and camera folks and put this movie together. It says, yeah, July 13th was when she vanished. I'm air quoting here. And the movie is out here in September. So, a Trace Without a Lost, or the Carly Russell story, out on Prime, if you want to treat yourself to that gem out there. It's there. Yeah, for the text line, Mark says, just like Spaceballs, where the movie was released as the movie was being made. Man, nice Spaceballs reference. David says, working title for the Carly Russell movie should be No Child on the Side of the Road. All right, come back to the text line in just a second. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by Adventure Earth Bicycles, my man Clint Jameson. Shout out to Clint. And it's interesting. So, honest to goodness, each week get response from somebody who has bought a e-bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles. Now, Adventure Earth Bicycles has a big selection of non-e-bikes as well. So I got to make sure to remind you that if you're looking for a non-electric bike, 400 in stock at any given time. They're the comfort bikes, the hybrid bikes, the road and triathlon bikes, the beach cruisers, BMX. Plus, they do repairs on all kind of bikes and e-bikes, and they got accessories, y'all. You got to accessorize. It's a stack shop with that, but 50 e-bikes in stock at any point, ready for you to take a test ride. And this latest two people that I know that have bought their e-bike were buying for hunting season. Using them to get, they said, you know, want to get through my property without making a lot of noise. If we get lucky and kill something, then we'll go get it with a gas-powered ATV. But they want to come and go to the stands quietly. E-bike is absolutely perfect for that. I use it for that. I use it for exercise on a weekly basis. I use it for just getting around. It's a lot of fun. And here's the thing. You can take a test ride on a bunch of different ones. When you go to Adventure Earth Bicycles, he's got seven different manufacturers. Like I've said so many times, the one I have is kind of an off-road one with the wider tires, heavier suspension. You can square up on a big longleaf pine cone and it doesn't bounce you. It just goes right across it. It's great for the sand or going up hills. You have that little eco boost to kick you up the hill. So I use mine. I pedal mine mostly, let the electric assist help, but you can go full electric with them as well. A great selection of e-bikes and the great knowledge. Clint's been doing this. I don't want to age us too much, but he and I were working together first in radio broadcast probably 20 years ago, 22 years ago. And he was into bikes back then. He continues at Adventure Earth Bicycles. They're at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Ruth's Chris. You can go online, adventure-earth.com, to look at some of the stock. But the thing you got to do is go in person, take that test ride. Tell Clint that you said, hey, I'm here. I want to test ride some of these e-bikes Sean was talking about. He'll get you set up. And you go see what I'm talking about. And be the next person to call me and say, yeah, I got an e-bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles. Everything inside to get you outside. All right. Somebody asking, so you're not watching the Carly Russell movie. What do you watch on TV? I'm famous for not watching TV, but I have, y'all. I have found two shows that I'm now watching. Okay, this is good because I'm like famous or infamous or made fun of around work here because I don't see shows because I'll sit still very well. But I have found two this weekend. I watched several. I watched Chimp Empire. I like the Chimp Empire. I don't want to ruin it, but I'm through where there's a new alpha. But we lost the other alpha. So I watched Chimp Empire to that point. And I started with the story of the OxyContin and the Sackler family, that painkiller, episode and a half in. Like that, too. So there's two things. I did actually see some things. So, and I'll probably go back this week and chip away, 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. And keep us, anybody who says I'd never watch anything, well, there you go. I've watched those. So I'm turning over a new leaf, right? Watching my stories out there. Unnamed texture, was this staged to publicize the movie? Listen, unnamed texture, our minds work in the same way. I don't know that it was, but that's, I wouldn't put it beyond, be like, okay, we want to make a movie. We've already filmed it. Let's go do the actual event so we can have a reason to have the movie. Jim in Georgetown out on the back 40, listening on the app. Keep up the good work. All right, Jim, good stuff. Thank you. Summerdale Tony said, I enjoyed listening to you on the app last week from Bristol, Tennessee, while I was doing a little trout fishing on the South Holston Dam and River. Isn't that a beautiful float, Tony? That is a beautiful float out there. I did that. It's 15, 16 years ago when I did the Holston, but I enjoyed it a lot. I need to get back up there. Grant says, Sean, am I the only one that thinks Trump looking at handguns yesterday was more of a political dig at Hunter Biden and the gun and drug charge? I believe so. I mean, that's straight up Trump's alley. Trump be trumping. That's true. That's true. Maybe it's more of the dig on that versus the, they're like, hey, look at this. What was my favorite one? Was Mitt Romney. Remember? Because presidential candidates on both sides in the past. Now, it's been different. But on both sides, up to maybe Clinton's time or whatever, they'll do, you know, in the presidential politics, they'll do like a homage to hunters or guns or, you know, something like that. And the but Mitt Romney coming out, remember, he said, I have guns. I'm big hunter or whatever. And they're like, oh, what do you hunt? And he's like, varmints. Lots of varmints. They're like, what kind of varmints? He said, well, they're varmints. We had to go on in state politics too here with somebody who would have wanted to be a senator in this state. Remember that? I got people upset at me with their campaign when I said, okay, well, tell me what guns you have. Derek says, what was the median income per resident before and now after? I don't know. You got to help me, Derek, and put that in context. I do not. It came in earlier. This texture says, no racial issues in Alabama, huh? One of the main news stories is a student being told to yell racial slurs at a black student during hazing. I heard that on WKRG. Who the hell are these people? Like, I heard the same story you did. I'm with you. Is that emblematic of our community? I don't think so. But does it sound like a bunch of morons? Yes, it does. Unnamed texture, I agree with you. Daniel and Foley, No Children Left Behind, working title. Backstrap Stacker with a beam. That's very funny. Dirt Digger says, about the Pritchard Water, said, I don't know, Sean, they have not asked for money because they will have to prove where the money has been spent, and they will watch you, and you have outside accountability. He's talking about the idea of getting state money to help Pritchard Water and Sewer. Dirt Digger says, about the movie, must have been made by non-union film workers and story writers. Look out, Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, it should be interesting. They used the wrong worst. They did worst instead of worse in the slug line for the movie. I mean, this thing is like put together. We made a couple movies, which I hope are destroyed, when I was a student at the University of Alabama. That's the kind of stuff we probably would have put in there too. Michael says, took a test ride yesterday. Clint is awesome. Like awesome. Be like awesome. Yeah, that's, well, cool, Michael. They are fun, aren't they? E-bikes are fun. Go see Clint. And CB Carl. Who was a presidential candidate in the tank with a giant helmet? That was Dukakis, man. Remember, he was going to look tough? The Dukakis thing. And then, how did you do this weekend in football? Oh, in our FM Talk 106.5 college pick'em. I'm still in the 50s here. I'm in like a 20-way tie at 58, but I'm holding fast there at 58. I'm not back in the 300s like before, so thank you for asking. I'm close, like a Mamba, ready to strike on that. All right, we'll get back to the text in a second. I don't know what to do first here. Actually, I do. Because I have two stories that I want to get through here before the end of the hour. And you know, I have a little obsession with J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon and their ties to Jeffrey Epstein. That's a story that's out. Remember, they had nothing to do with it, but they paid another bunch of money to settle with something they had nothing to do with. But before that, can we talk about President Biden? Talk about President Biden trying to, I don't know what. So the headline here is Biden blasted for calling LL Cool J boy. Critics say the term absolutely a white racist word in that context. It says President Biden is under fire for calling LL Cool J boy. You know, when LL Cool J was a boy, you still didn't call LL Cool J a boy. because he probably would have whipped your butt back then. This was during a speech to the Congressional Black Caucus with everyone from average Americans to popular radio host, is that me? Scolding the president for the unacceptable comment about a black man. Says Joe Biden has historically expressed racial hostility towards black Americans. This is well documented. Well, he listen, you can go through the list of things he said that you're like, who says that? It says, so Leo Terrell on Fox News Digital said that. He said his racial comments have been excused by Democrats, especially black Democrats. For example, James Clyburn has come to Joe Biden's rescue every time he expressed his true racial hostilities. This is Terrell talking. His recent comment referring to LL Cool J as a boy was not a gaffe, but a lifelong attitude of racial discrimination towards blacks. Sorry, I left the Democrat. Terrell goes on. I left the Democratic Party in 2020 because Joe Biden made a statement on national radio program hosted by Charlemagne the God, where he said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Yeah, we remember that one. Listen, that's just the tip of the iceberg with Biden's comments there. Now, I would say, too, James Clyburn's come to his rescue many times. Like, the reason that Joe Biden is president of the United States is all to deal with Clyburn and the power that Clyburn wields. That's why Biden is president. I'll point that out. It says the latest ordeal began on Saturday when Biden fumbled over the rapper's name while attempting to... Well, let's do this. Here it is. Here's the audio. Here's President Biden trying to be... It says he was trying to recognize LL Cool J along with MC Light for their musical contributions when he said,
two of the great artists of our time representing the groundbreaking legacy of hip-hop in America, LL Cool J. By the way, that boy's got, that man's got biceps bigger than my thighs. I think he's been. And MC Light, both of you, thank you. Because they both have the light off on the mic, you know, you're all here to listen to the new edition.
Oh, shut up. So, first of all, LL, as in Ladies Love Cool J, President Biden. So there's the latest of the gaffe machine from Biden there. So, and so he screws up LL Cool J's name. And you could say, listen, at his age, does he know LL Cool J? Probably doesn't. For sure, he doesn't know MC Light, who I liked MC Light in the day, too. But for him to turn around and say, that boy, you know, in that case, you know, did he turn it around? Yes, he turned it around and said, man, you know, I listen, is this going to be news next week? Probably not. But does this get just added to the list of gaffes? Yeah. And I think you can look back to things he said about his running mate, President Obama, former President Obama. And I don't even have that clip up, but off the top of my head, he said something like he's clean and articulate. What the hell about Barack Obama? That this is the person that is you know, has a, I think one of the things here, number one, he knows he is where he is because of James Clyburn. Number two, he doesn't really truly believe anything, so he has to curry favor with something maybe he doesn't truly believe, that's not in his DNA. And so it slips out from time to time, or he's just lost his mind. But yeah, remember that even before the, if you know, you ain't black comment, he was calling his then running mate and president, soon to be president, Barack Obama, clean and articulate. So there you go. Joe Biden on the campaign trail. I guess it gave him a little bit of time not to talk about Bidenomics and its great success out there, and took a little time to talk about LL Cool J and MC Light. With that, Ladies Love Cool J. Take us to the news, and we'll be right back. Phone number 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm going back to Cali. I don't think so. I'm going back to Cali. I'm going back to Cali. I don't think so.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
153 FM Talk 1065 Midday Mobile. Phone number 343-0106. Also, same digits for the Ascension Technologies text line. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show. How about this leadoff batter in the noon hour tomorrow? Former AL1 Congressman Bradley Byrne, now CEO of the Mobile Chamber, but a lot to talk about with him. But we will get into some AL1 politics. I mean, this is a question, number one, from a man that used to have the job for AL1, looking at this redistricting, these new maps. Also, what that means for Mobile. Maybe we'll look at it from a business side as well. So get your questions ready. Hour number one tomorrow, former Congressman Bradley Byrne, our guest, plus Erica Thomas and a whole lot more coming up on tomorrow's show. All right, to the text line here. Some good ones. Yeah, let's see. The quotes about, yeah, so I was right. Okay, thank you. Unnamed texture said I was right when I quoted that he, remember, I just didn't know if I had the spirit of it. I didn't know if I had it completely correct, where he said Barack Obama was clean and articulate. Like, what a condescending, yeah. I mean, when the person I wanted to win the presidency, but I mean, I've heard that, I remember back then, said, ugh, gosh. Let's see. Haywood said this must be why Biden's going back to Cali this afternoon. Don't you know that if you're Gavin Newsom and you decide you're going to run against him, you dig by having going back to Cali playing when you come up on a campaign event or whatever. If it ends up happening that somebody dares challenge, which I hope they don't. I hope they keep Biden in place. It's good for Republicans. But yeah, if Biden is up against Gavin Newsom and he, like, his walkout song's going back to Cali. And then remind everybody about the LLL Cool J statements. Jim in Georgetown. Yeah, I remember this too. Jim said, I think about the 80s when Biden testified in the Senate for segregation, talking about not having his children raised in a racial jungle. If I was a late teenager, but I remember that vividly. And that means it had nothing to do with senility. That's correct, too. You know, maybe if there had been some youngster, you know, white youngster that said boy in that context, you'd say, you know what, they don't know. And I'd say they probably don't know what that means, right? They probably don't. But Biden absolutely is the generation to know what that means. All right, I've left myself with just minutes here, but I do want to just at least plant the story here. Continuing coverage of J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon. Headline from NBC News, J.P. Morgan to pay $75 million to settle lawsuit over ties with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, remember they said they didn't have the they didn't know what he was doing. They had no idea what he was doing with the island and everything. Well, the story from Chloe Atkins says J.P. Morgan Chase has reached a $75 million settlement with the U.S. Virgin Islands over a lawsuit accusing the nation's largest bank, remember the one that gets the government protections and allowed to buy the smaller banks, and they got bailed out in the crash in 07. Okay, that one. Breached a settlement with U.S. Virgin Islands over a lawsuit accusing the nation's largest bank of facilitating Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking enterprise for 15 years. The bank said the majority of the settlement, $55 million, y'all, will go towards local charities and victim assistance. Oh, how sweet. Meanwhile, the remaining $20 million will cover legal fees. So it's a $75 million judgment. Goes towards local charities and victim assistance, and then $20 million to cover the legal fees for do we cheat them and how. The bank says the settlement doesn't, quote, involve admissions of liability, end quote, and it regrets any association with Epstein and would have never continued doing business with him if it believed he was using the bank in any way to commit heinous crimes. Then why in the hell are you giving them $75 million? Remember after you gave them, what was the other payout? The last time they told us that they didn't have anything to do with it and they had no idea. Wasn't it like 200 and something? Yeah, $290 million. Yeah, in June, J.P. Morgan Chase agreed to pay $290 million to settle a similar lawsuit filed by Epstein survivors. But they had nothing to do with it. Nothing. Baseless accusation. So $290 in the first check and $75 million in the next. You remember that this is the bank that, if you thought there were banks too big to fail before, they've officially, we've made them the nation's bank. And what could go wrong with that, huh? What could go wrong? So there it is. We'll probably have more time to visit the fun of J.P. Morgan Chase, unless Jamie Dimon has me killed before tomorrow's show, but if not, we'll continue to talk about it. All right, I'll tell you what, I'll answer some of these texts coming in here at the end of the show as we close it out. Also, I saw a story. We talked about police jurisdiction so much on this show over the time. PMI has a story that said starting January 1st, because I think we talked about it for what would be happening in Saraland. Sims now says they're going to pull back their police jurisdiction as well. So welcome to the new reality on PJs out there, whatever you heard from the last campaign or not. All right, we're out. Oh, yeah, that's good. We'll go out with some Ladies Love Cool J, Paul Feinbaum. Ladies Love Feinbaum, too, and he's on the way next. Y'all have a good one. Let me rip it up for cuz in the back. Let me rip it, get a buzz in your hat. I'm going to tell you how to cause an attack. Timberland, Ladies Love on the track.